ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं दैवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरयेत्। नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवती उत्तम श्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी। कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय देवकी नंदनाय च नंदगोपकुमाराय गोविंदाय नमो नमः। सो वी आर रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम सेवेंथ कैंटो चैप्टर वन टेक्स्ट नंबर सिक्स। निर्गुणो अपि हि अजः अव्यक्तः भगवान् प्रकृते परः स्वमाया गुणम् आविश्य बाध्य बाधकतां गतः। निर्गुणोऽपि अजो व्यक्तो भगवान् प्रकृते परः स्वमायागुणम् आविश्य बाध्य बाधकतां गतः। निर्गुणोऽपि अजो व्यक्तो भगवान् प्रकृते परः स्वमाया गुणम् आविश्य बाध्य बाधकतां गतः। निर्गुणोऽपि अजो व्यक्तो भगवान् प्रकृते परः स्वमाया गुणम् आविश्य बाध्य बाधकतां गतः। प्लीज स्टैंड। प्रकृते परः बाध्या बाधा कतां गतः। निर्गुणोऽपि अजो व्यक्तो भगवान् प्रकृते परः स्वमायागुणम् आविश्य बाध्या बाधा कतां गतः। निर्गुणोऽपि अजो व्यक्तो भगवान् प्रकृते परः स्वमायागुणम् आविश्य बाध्य बाधा कतां गतः। निर्गुणोऽपि अजो व्यक्तो भगवान् प्रकृते परः स्वमाया गुणम् आविश्य बाध्य बाध्य गताम गतः। माताजी ओके प्लीज रिपीट आफ्टर मी। निर्गुणः विदाउट मटेरियल क्वालिटीज अपि ऑल्दो ही सर्टनली अजः अनबॉर्न अव्यक्तः अनमैनिफेस्ट भगवान द सुप्रीम लॉर्ड प्रकृते टू मटीरियल नेचर परः transcendental, swamaya, of his own energy, gunam, material qualities, avishya, entering, badhya, obligation, badhakatam, the condition of being obliged, gataha, accepts. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki?
Yeah.
Translation. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vishnu, is always transcendental to material qualities. And therefore, He is called Nirguna, or without qualities. Because He is unborn, He does not have a material body to be subjected to attachment and hatred. Although the Lord is always above material existence, through His spiritual potency, He appeared and acted like an ordinary human being, accepting duties and obligations, apparently like a conditioned soul. Purport. So-called attachment, detachment, and obligations pertain to the material nature, which is an emanation from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But whenever the Lord descends and acts in this material world, He does so in a spiritual position. Although His activities materially appear different, spiritually they are absolute and non-different. Thus, it is an imposition upon the Supreme Lord to say that He is envious of anyone or friendly to anyone. In Bhagavad Gita, the Lord clearly says, Avajananti mamudha manusim tanumashritam. Fools deride me when I descend in a human form. Krishna appears on this earth or within this universe without any change in His spiritual body or spiritual qualities. Indeed, He is never influenced by the material qualities. He is always free from such qualities, but He appears to act under material influence. This understanding is aropita, or an imposition. Therefore, Krishna says, Janma karma cha me divyam. Whatever He does, being always transcendental, has nothing to do with material qualities. Evam yo veti tatvataha. Only devotees can understand the truth of how He acts. The fact is that Krishna is never partial to anyone. He is always equal to everyone. But because of imperfect vision, influenced by material qualities, one imposes material qualities upon Krishna. And when one does so, he becomes a mudha, a fool. When one can properly understand the truth, one becomes devoted and nirguna, free from material qualities. Simply by understanding the activities of Krishna, one can become transcendental. And as soon as one is transcendental, he is fit to be transferred to the transcendental world. Tyaktva deham punarjanma naiti mameti so Arjuna. One who understands the activities of the Lord in truth is transferred to the spiritual world after he gives up his material body. Om Jnanati Mirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yutapada Kamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagra Jatam Sahagana Ragunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamscha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Vishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dinabandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpataru Bhishcha Kripa Sindhu Evacha Patitanam Pavane Bhyo Vaishnave Bhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna. So the translation, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vishnu, is always transcendental to material qualities. Therefore, he is called Nirguna, or without qualities. Because he is unborn, he does not have a material body to be subjected to attachment and hatred. Although the Lord is always above material existence, through his spiritual potency, he appeared and acted like a human being, accepting duties and obligations, apparently like a conditioned soul. So here we are discussing on the seventh canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam. So this canto starts with Parikshit Maharaj asking a question to Srila Sukadeva Goswami. And he asks a quite interesting question. He is asking, if Krishna or Bhagavan, right, he is Bhagavan, how is he partial to his demigods, to devatas? And how is he killing the demons? Right. He's supposed to be partial, he's supposed to be impartial. So how is it that he is partial to the devatas? That is the question that Parikshit Maharaj is asking to Sukadeva Goswami. Now, through this question, what happens after this is Sukadeva Goswami glorifies the question. He glorifies Parikshit, saying, bravo, very nice question. So there is an important principle that we learn through this, which is the kind of questions that are to be asked. As the Bhagavatam says, kamasya nendriya priyirti labado jivita yavata jivasya tattva jigyasa nartho yascheha karmabhi. It says, life's activities are actually meant to inquire and discuss about the absolute truth, jivasya tattva jigyasa. Right? That is what we are supposed to do. So, you know, in fact, that principle can be applied in our life also. The kind of questions that we ask, they should be moving towards progressing spiritually. It should be moving towards spiritual progress. So questions of this nature about the Lord, about the devotees, and about what we learn from it. These are some questions that should be asked. So when Parikshit asks these questions, Sukadeva Goswami is happy, he is pleased. In fact, the whole Bhagavatam is based on this one question, that what should a person who is about to die, what should he do? So these are the kind of questions we are supposed to ask. And in this verse, now Sukadeva Goswami is starting to answer the inquiry of Maharaj Parikshit. So first he is saying that what is the imposition that Krishna is partial. So Sukadeva Goswami is replying. He is saying, first you understand what is Krishna, who is Krishna. Therefore the first word we see in the verse is Nirguna, right? Nirguna. So Nirguna means without qualities. When it refers to without qualities, it is actually saying Krishna does not have any material qualities. Generally, most people have this misconception. Because we are under the modes of material nature, sattva, rajas, tamas, all the qualities that we have, they are generally material for any normal conditioned soul. But the misconception is when we try and put Krishna also in this bracket of being material. Krishna is not under the modes of nature. He is not influenced by the modes of nature. That is what is meant by Nirguna. I remember last month I met one Muslim boy. And he was saying, it in your Hindu culture there are so many gods and goddesses. You know, and there is Murti Puja. There is so much of idol worship that goes on. He told me, logically, what do you think? God is one or there are so many gods? I said, God is one. He said, then why so much of hodgepodge? I said, that is true. Hinduism is royal khichdi. That is what it has become. But actually, if you see the Vedas, especially by the mercy of His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada, right, we can actually understand Gita in truth. Bhagavatam in truth. And it says there is only one Lord. And worship of only Lord Krishna is to be done. Otherwise everybody is a part of this khichdi. So I said, yes, you are right. One God. He said, then I said, one God, Krishna. He said, but how can you say that this is God only? Only Krishna can be God. How can you say he has a form? How can you say he is like this? So I said, what are you trying to say? He said, God does not have form. We all know in Muslim culture, they don't accept God to have a form, to have a physical form. Right? In any Muslim's house, you'll never find any picture of Allah. Right? So he was saying God is impersonal, he is light. Why does he have to have a form? So I said, yes, it is true. Even our Upanishads are saying God is Nirgun, he is Nirakar. Shri Radha Ras Bihari Bhagavan ki, Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman ki, Shri Gaur Nitai ki. So I was telling him, yes, you are right. Even Gita Krishna is saying Brahmano hi pratishtaham. There are three aspects to the absolute truth. Vadanti tat tatva vidas tatvam jnanam yad advayam brahmeti paramatmeti bhagavan iti shabyate. So you're talking about the impersonal aspect. So what you're saying is not wrong, but it is incomplete. So he was not accepting. So I said, you do namaz every day? He said yes. When you do namaz, which direction do you pray? He said, we all pray in the direction where Makkah is. I said, even if you are alone, do you pray in that direction? He said, yes. I said, who is watching? He said, Allah is watching. He said, Allah is watching, that means he has eyes? So he was confused. He said, if he has eyes, he's a person. So he said, I asked him, so you don't know how Allah looks like, right? He said, yes. So I said, now you don't know how Allah looks like, then how can you say he doesn't look like this? It's a matter of logic. You don't know how Allah looks like, then how you can say that he does not look like this? Just like this is a table. And somebody might not have seen a table in his life. So when he comes across a table, how can he say this cannot be a table? He doesn't know anyways. So he actually accepted. I said, so therefore we understand that, therefore our scriptures say that yes, God is impersonal, that is one aspect. But he also has a spiritual form. And that form is Nirguna. That form is Nirakar. Why? Because it means that form is not material. It does not have a material form. God does not have material qualities. That is what is being implied. But his form is spiritual. His form is beyond the modes of nature. So actually he came to the point of accepting. He was open. He said, I'll come to the temple. So we find that there are so many misconceptions that people have because they cannot understand that Lord Krishna is actually transcendental to the modes of material nature. Actually, it is we who are strongly bound by the modes. Bound means two things. We cannot move freely. Secondly, when the object that we are bound to, when it moves, we also move. Just like we all have seen, you know, the horse, many times the horse is tied. So it is bound. So horse cannot move on its own. Right? When the person who is sitting on the horse, he takes a ride, the horse has to move in that direction. That is our situation. Right? So Krishna is saying, Prakrite kriyamanani gune karmani sarvasha. Everything that is happening in our life is nothing but it is an interplay of the modes of nature. Right? There is sattvagun, rajagun and tamogun. They are making us dance like puppets. And based on which kind of mode we are in, which kind of guna we possess, we will react to a situation, thereby creating more karma. So our whole life is nothing but a conditioned soul. His whole life is nothing but guna and karma, especially gunas. Now, being influenced by these gunas, we actually cannot understand what it means to be above the gunas, above the three modes of nature. That is Krishna. Therefore, Krishna is known as Gunatma. He is not under the modes of nature, he is above the modes. He is the controller of the modes of nature. Right? He says, Maya dakshena prakriti suyate sa characharam. So he's saying these modes of nature, they are actually under me. I am the controller. So because of this, because people don't have this understanding, therefore they are confused. And then we find they make so many statements. For example, they say, why did Krishna perform Ras Leela? He is influenced by lust. Therefore he performed Ras Leela. Based on this understanding, then when they see one boy with many girls, immediately one thing comes to mind. Krishna and gopis. Then they say, there are so many misconceptions like this. For example, some people say, Krishna ran away from the battlefield. He ran away when Jarasandha came to attack him. What a coward he is. Darpok hai. They say he's chore, he's a thief. He stole makhan, he stole butter. In Vrindavan, he stole butter from the house of the gopis. And one more misconception. He is partial to the devatas. Every time devatas call, he comes. And then he fights against the demons. He has some enmity towards the demons. So these are common misconceptions that people develop because of the lack of this tattvic understanding. Especially, a lot of these misconceptions have to do with television serials. You know, in our 2-day, 3-day session, when we try and make people understand how Krishna is Bhagavan and how Lord Shiva is actually the topmost servant, is Vaishnavanam Yatha Shambhu, immediately people, they think, no, it's not possible. Actually, Shiva is God. Many of them say. So I was wondering how. So I asked them. They say, but in Devo Ke Dev Mahadev TV serial, they showed like that. Because the understanding is influenced by what is being shown on television. So even Mahabharata. So there is, I don't know whether it's going on still now, but some time back there was a new version of the Mahabharata which came. And the kind of questions that people ask us are always based, why Krishna did this, why Krishna did that. And because they don't understand this basic tattva that Krishna is nirguna, so at the end of the Mahabharata, they are confused. Actually, the purpose of the Mahabharata is to glorify Krishna and Arjuna. But because they don't know this understanding, they don't have this understanding, they offend Krishna by saying, what a politician. There is no bigger diplomat than Krishna. So they get confused. In fact, in Maharashtra, there is this very famous book in Marathi called Mrityunjay, which actually says how Karna is the hero of Mahabharata and Krishna and Arjuna are villains. So we actually see how not having a basic understanding of the gunas, how people can actually go in a completely wrong direction of understanding and offend the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore Krishna says, and Srila Prabhupada elaborates in the purport, he says, avajananti ma mudha manushintanu mashritam. Fools deride me when I come in human form. Right? He says that those who do not accept me, they are fools. And because Krishna, his activities are, you know, he walks, talks like a normal human being. So one may think he is just one of us, one amongst us. But he is not one amongst us. Like for example, in the Srimad Bhagavatam 10th canto, Narad Muni goes to Lord Krishna's palaces. There is a chapter. Narada visits Lord Krishna. So Narad Muni goes into Krishna's palaces. Now Krishna, he doesn't have one palace. He has 16,108 palaces. And Krishna expands into 16,108 forms. And he is simultaneously present in every palace doing something or the other. So first when Narad Muni arrives, he goes to Mother Rukmini's palace. There Narad Muni sees Rukmini Devi is fanning Lord Krishna. The moment Krishna sees Narad, he immediately gets up and he says, oh, Devarshi, you have come. Please take this asana. And then he washes his feet. And then Krishna, he tells Narad Muni, so, my dear Rishi, you are such saintly person, you purify even the holy places. So we are attached householders. Please tell me how I can serve you. Narad Muni smiling. He knows, he replies to Krishna, my dear Lord, you are unborn, you are unmanifest. You are the original Purusha. And you are telling that you are bound? How is this possible? My dear Lord, I just came here to take your darshan. You please give me this blessing that I always remain at your lotus feet, engaged in your devotional service. Saying like this, Narad Muni left. Then he went to second palace of some other queen. There he saw Lord Krishna with the queen playing chess with Uddhav. He's playing chess with Uddhav. So there when Narad Muni arrived, Lord Krishna, he got up immediately and acting as if he is meeting Narad Muni for the first time, he said, oh, Devarshi, you have come, please come and take seat. So Narad Muni, he was thinking, he was still smiling to himself. Then Lord Krishna, he said, so my dear Narad Muni, we are bound, we are attached householders, you tell us how we can serve you. And Narad Muni, smiling, understanding what is the intention of the Lord, he left. Then he went to another palace. There he saw Lord Krishna is playing with his children. Then he went to another palace. There he saw that he is having a meeting with his ministers. Another palace he went to, he saw Lord Krishna is in the water playing with his other queens, sporting. Another palace he went, he saw Krishna is doing meditation. Quite amazing. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, he is meditating. Another place, he's preparing to perform yajna. So 16,108 palaces, and Narad Muni saw Krishna 16,108 times doing different activities. And in the end, he was just thinking, and he finally prayed to Krishna, saying, my dear Lord, it is only by your mercy, because I am engaged in your transcendental loving service, that you have mercifully, by your internal potency, revealed to me about your pastimes, which are otherwise inconceivable. Normal person cannot understand why is Krishna doing what he is doing. Right? He is doing meditation. Who is he meditating on? Meditating on himself? Normal person cannot understand. So Narad Muni is saying, because I am engaged in your seva, you have been merciful unto me and you have revealed to me. And then he prays, my dear Lord, my only wish that I have is you bless me so that I can go on in all the three worlds chanting your glories. So Krishna says in the Gita, he says, Bhaktatva Ananya Sakhya. He says, Bhaktatva Ananya Sakhya, Aham Evam Vidho Arjuna, Gnatum Drashtum Tatvena Parashtum Parantapa. He says, only a person who is engaged in my Ananya Bhakti can know me who I am, because I reveal to him. Krishna says that, Janma Karma Chme Divyam Evam Yoveti Tatvataha Tyaktva Deham Punarjanma Naiti Mameti Swarjuna. He's saying, my birth and activities are transcendental. They are above the modes. Normal people cannot understand. Only those who are engaged in my devotional service, they can understand. So, because people cannot understand, then they claim that Krishna is partial. Krishna favors the demigods. He kills the demons. He does Raslila. So why it happens, Kunti Devi, she narrates in her prayers, a very nice prayer. She says, Maya Javani Kachanam Agna Dokshajam Avyayam Na Lakshase Mudadrisha Nato Natyadharo Yataha. He's saying, Krishna, actually, you are just like a player, an actor, who is so nicely dressed that normal person cannot identify who you are. Just like, sometimes we go to a drama And sometimes people get so much into the character that everybody thinks he's real. So that's how Krishna is. They think he's just playing the part of a Kshatriya as King Dwarkadish. That's what he is. They forget that he is the Supreme Lord. So let us understand one particular pastime with this tattva, with this knowledge. Let us try and see one such misconception. Like people think that Krishna is a thief. He steals butter from the house of the gopis. So let us look into this pastime. Right? Again, the Srimad Bhagavatam and the acharyas also beautifully they embellish this pastime. They say that Krishna Balaram, in their childhood, they used to go to the gopis' houses and steal makhan and eat makhan along with the gopas and the monkeys. So they used to raid one house and they used to go and enter from anywhere they can manage and take the pot of makhan, break it, and Krishna with his own lotus hands used to feed all his gopas, gopa friends and the monkeys. And many times these gopis used to get angry that why Krishna is doing something like this. And they used to go and complain to Mother Yashoda. Maya, look at your Kana. He is so mischievous, so naughty. And Maya is saying, what are you saying? You are saying, what kind of claim is this? You are claiming that Krishna is eating makhan from your house? You think there is a shortage of makhan in my house that he has to go to your place? So then Mother Yashoda used to dismiss them. Go back, go back. And all the gopis used to think, Maya doesn't listen to us. So then what used to happen? Krishna used to go on with these activities. Sometimes these gopis used to put this makhan in pots high up on the ceiling. And Krishna and his friends used to form a pyramid and they used to get the makhan down, break it and then feed to others. And then after the monkeys were also well fed, they just for mischief, they used to break all the other pots and go. So these gopis used to get so angry, they used to go and complain to Mother Yashoda, see what Kana is doing. And Krishna used to say, Maya, what are they saying? Their butter and their chas, it is so tasteless that even the monkeys don't eat. Then sometimes Krishna used to get caught. So he used to allow himself to be caught. Who can catch Krishna? Right? He is Yogeshwara. He is the master of mystics. Who can catch him? So he used to get caught sometimes. And then the gopi used to catch Krishna and take him to Mother Yashoda saying, today I am not going to leave you. I am going to complain. So when she used to catch and take Krishna, Krishna out of his own potency, he used to take the form of another gopa. Who used to be the son of this gopi? And then this gopi goes to Mother Yashoda and says, Maya, look, this time I caught your Lala red-handed. I caught him red-handed, see? And Maya is looking at the gopi and her son and laughing, saying, it seems, my dear gopi, you have gone crazy. Look at whom you have brought. And she and the angry gopi used to look and say, oh, my son? And she used to get confused, saying, I brought Krishna here, but how is this my son? And then Krishna, and then Mother Yashoda used to say, you go back, go back. So when she used to go back, again Krishna used to take his own form. And then Krishna used to tell the gopi, Maya, this time I allowed myself to be caught. You took me to Mother Yashoda to complain. This time I became your son. Next time if you take me, I'll become your husband. So this is Krishna, he does this Leela. So all the gopis used to go and complain to Mother Yashoda. The ornaments on Krishna Balaram are so effulgent. Even if we hide our makhan in a dark place, they still, by the effulgence and light emanating from their ornaments, they can find out. So then Maya used to say, okay, I will remove the ornaments. Then the gopis used to say, no, don't do that. They look so beautiful with it. Without the ornaments, then what will be the charm? So you see, Krishna does all these leelas to please his devotees. The gopis used to get so much ananda, so much bliss when they used to discuss about Krishna's pastimes like this. And you know, for those who claim that he is a thief, everything belongs to him. Isha Upanishad, the first verse says, Isha Vasyam Idam Sarvam. He says, Yat Kincham Jagatam Jagat. Everything animate or inanimate, it belongs to Krishna. Everything belongs to Krishna anyways. So everything is his. So why can't he take? Further, Nand Maharaj, he is the king of Braj. If he wanted, he could take anything. All the makhan officially belongs to Nand Maharaj. So if Krishna is taking makhan from some house, it is his father's only. Just like in Mumbai, you know, if you take somebody, if you snatch away somebody, something from someone, they will say in Hindi, Tere baap ka hai kya? So Krishna can say, Haan, mere baap ka hi hai. Right? Because whole makhan belongs to Nand Maharaj. So why he can't take? So why does he steal? He doesn't have to steal, but he steals. Why he steals? Because this is to give pleasure to his devotees. They get ananda, they get such spiritual rasa in talking and discussing about him. That is Krishna. Right? Akarshiti iti Krishna. He is the one, he attracts us by his qualities. So he does these leelas to attract us. In the same way, all his leelas. He runs away from the battlefield. Right? Jarasang attacks for 17 times. Krishna defeats his whole army. All the 17 times. Leaving Jarasang every time. And 18th time, Krishna runs away. So one may say, he is actually a coward. He ran away. Why he ran away? Because he got an emergency call. Rukmini was calling. So he had to go to kidnap her. So that is why he does what he does. So even though he runs away from the battlefield, he is known as Ranachod. He is glorified. The devotees glorify him. So that is Krishna. So the mistake that people do is think that Krishna is one amongst us. But he is not. He is transcendental. He is without any material qualities. In fact, in the same way this claim that Parikshit is saying, he is saying that Krishna is partial. He is partial towards the devatas. Krishna is not partial. He says in the Gita, he says, Samoham Sarva Bhuteshu Name Dveshti. He says, I am equal towards everyone. So then, why is it that he, why does he support the devatas? So actually, this, you know, in this particular section, it's going to be answered ahead. But taking the same principle, why Krishna, why does he support the demons? Why does he support the devatas? Because the devatas actually cooperate with his plan. Krishna's plan is to see that he attracts all the living entities back to him and establish peace and Brahmanical culture everywhere. And the devatas, they assist Krishna in the same. Whenever there is a problem, they go to Vishnu. Just like in Ram Leela, all the devatas went to Vishnu saying, Ravan is doing so much of an atrocity, kindly help us. So Vishnu tells them, yes, I will come. First, all of you become monkeys. You take birth as monkeys. So the devatas did that. They became monkeys. So the devatas also do sacrifice for the Lord. So the Lord comes and he comes on their side and he annihilates demons. But Lord's killing and saving both are the same. Krishna is absolute. Partiality is by somebody who has some hidden intention. But Krishna doesn't have anything hidden. He doesn't have, his only intention is that everybody comes to him. So even when he is killing the demons, he is actually benefiting them. Let us see the example of Putana. When Putana came to kill Krishna, when comes ordered, Putana, you go and kill Krishna. And she came with her breast smeared with poison. And she took Krishna on her lap. And Krishna began sucking. So Krishna actually sucked her life. Now, Putana had come with the intention of killing Krishna. But you just see what Krishna did. Uddhava is telling Vidura. Uddhava tells, you see how kind God is. How kind is Krishna that Putana came to kill him. But Krishna thinks, oh, Putana, she has offered her breast milk to me. So she is my mother. So then Krishna puts Putana in the position of mother in the spiritual world. So what kind of benediction does Krishna give? He does not see anything bad. He is actually seeing the minutest good quality which is there, even in the demons. Putana comes to kill Krishna. What Krishna does? He puts her as mother in spiritual world. So Vidura is saying, how kind is Bhagavan? Such is a person I should surrender to. If not him, then who else can I worship? So kind he is. Krishna, he cites the devatas. Another incident, even in the case of Maharaj Bali, right, Bali Maharaj. So when he came as Vamandev and he asked for 3 steps of land, he covered everything, he took everything and he gave back to Indra. Bali was left with nothing. But what did Krishna do? He actually said, Bali, I am so pleased with you. I'll become your gatekeeper at Sutal. Right? So Krishna becomes personal servant. So Srila Prabhupada is actually in one place in the same canto in Prahlad Maharaj section. Srila Prabhupada mentions, he says that, how can one understand God? This particular verse, Lord Brahma is praying. He's saying, my dear Lord, nobody can understand you unless and until he is favored by your mercy. So to that, Srila Prabhupada writes in the purport. He says, you see this Krishna, what he does? Jai and Vijay are his associates in the spiritual world, in Vaikuntha. He inspires the 4 Kumaras to curse Jai Vijay to take birth in this material world. They become Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakashipu. Then, by his will, by Krishna's will, pure devotee Prahlad, he takes birth in one of these demoniac family. And then he himself comes as Narsingdev to kill Hiranyakashipu and save Prahlad from the atrocity of Hiranyakashipu, who is born in a demoniac family by his own mercy, you know, by his own will. Now how you can understand God? Prabhupada says. So Krishna is arranged, look at his arrangement. It's so absolute. And then Srila Prabhupada writes that what to speak of Bhagavan, even devotee one cannot understand. Vaishnavera Kriya Mudra, one cannot understand what a Vaishnava does. And actually we see in the life of Srila Prabhupada, today we are sitting and we are able to understand and discuss this tattva. It is actually by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada. He so painstakingly wrote his books. So much of sacrifice he made to give us this. So I was in Vrindavan last year in Srila Prabhupada disappearance festival, and His Grace Dinabandhu Prabhu, he was giving his offering, and he was saying that many of those who are Prabhupada's, who are not Prabhupada's disciples, who are his grand disciples, or who are not his disciples, they feel we missed Prabhupada's association. But he says that there was something that Srila Prabhupada was doing which was more important than even giving all of us time. Than even that he considered top priority more important than his own direct disciples. And this was translating and writing his books. So actually we can understand Krishna not by our own analysis or intellect, neither our intelligence. It is by the mercy of such great acharyas like Srila Prabhupada that we have access to these purports. I remember there was one sannyasi, he was mentioning Bhakti Vedanta purports. They contain such amazing things. They contain the entire Bhagavatam and they contain pure devotional service also. Even if Bhagavatam directly, if there is a verse which does not talk about pure devotional service, apparently we cannot understand. But Srila Prabhupada's purports, right, they convey the pure devotional service meaning in such a purport also. So his purports have everything, including Bhagavatam, is there in his purports. So Srila Prabhupada, you know, we know from his life, you know, actually there was no reason for him to leave Vrindavan. He was very nicely situated with this all merciful Lord in Vrindavan. There was no reason for him to leave Vrindavan. But he was only thinking, how I can spread this holy name of Krishna, how I can make Mahaprabhu's prophecy come true, how I can serve the mission of my spiritual master. And the prime element we see is compassion. The pure devotee, Srila Prabhupada, is only thinking, that other living entities are suffering. They are suffering because they don't know this tattva. They don't know this tattva. So they are suffering. They don't know about Krishna. So therefore, we see these acharyas, they burn themselves out to give us the holy name, to give us this understanding. So then the next question is, if they are doing so much for us, then what are we doing for them? Right? What are we doing? So it's so important to actually introspect from within, what sacrifice are we making for Srila Prabhupada and his movement? Are we sacrificing our personal ego to maintain relations between devotees? Are we actually burning ourselves out trying to serve this mission? Because, when we understand, what is happening in the outside world, it's horrifying actually. It's horrifying. You may meet anyone and just start saying everybody is searching for happiness. But somehow or other, in our material pursuits, we don't get. And everybody will have to agree. Right? Even the crorepati, he will agree that there is only misery in this world. So people are not free because they are bound by the modes of nature. Once it happened that Srila Prabhupada in Hare Krishna land, the wall they had, fencing, and the fencing was very sharp. So this was a famous pastime. One person asked Srila Prabhupada, "It seems that this Hare Krishna land is like a prison. It seems this is a prison. People are bound." So Srila Prabhupada replied, he said, actually, outside people are bound, inside they are free. That is actually what something we can understand and realize. We are engaged in the service of Shishi Radha Rasbihariji and we are actually free because we have the choice not to act upon lust, anger, greed, pride, illusion, envy. We have the choice. Outside they don't have choice. Outside they have to act that way, to deal with matter. So, aren't we the most fortunate? Right? We are the most fortunate. So, then the question is, if our heart is full of gratitude for what Srila Prabhupada has given us, right? When we go out actually to preach and give, we understand how much suffering situation is there. And only one word comes to my mind when I see them. Baj gaye. We are saved. So we are saved by the mercy of His divine grace. So then the question is, what are we doing for Him? Right, so for His selfless sacrifice, how are we endeavoring? Because you see, bhakti is basically about re-establishing our lost relationship with Krishna. Krishna is a person. And just like if we want to please a person, we need to also know how he thinks. What are his likes, what are his dislikes. And these great acharyas, they are Sakshad Hari. And every day in morning we chant Sakshad Haritvena Samasta Shastra. They are Sakshad Hari. So their life is actually it's principled, very high principles. So that's our duty actually, to live by those principles. Because we've been given this benediction to actually understand the subject matter by Srila Prabhupada. It is just out of gratitude that we should serve him selflessly. Krishna is here, Srila Prabhupada is writing in the purports that it is not easy to understand Krishna. It only happens by devotional service. And devotional service is actually done under the regulation of what the acharya is telling us to do, or what Srila Prabhupada and his representatives, what they are telling us to do, and how much we are sincere and in line with what their desire is. To that extent we can please Krishna and thereby understand him. Who is otherwise nirguna and who is transcendental to all qualities. Hare Krishna. So we end here. If somebody has any question or comment, you can take some.
Hare Krishna. Thank you very much. Wonderfully you explained about Srila Prabhupada and how we have to be grateful. Like Krishna, he attracts all the gopis. This comments, Krishna attracts, you know, by playing flutes, all the gopis. The same way Srila Prabhupada attracts all the conditioned soul by playing his flutes is a Bhaktivedanta purport. This is the one thing. Hare Krishna.
Yes. Any other question or comment? That's pretty.
Hare Krishna. Once Devgan Prabhu has given class and he said that Sakshad Haritvena. So Acharya never claims that they are they become Hari, Supreme Lord. They say they are the representative of the Lord and the servant of the Lord. And second comment I have is that explain Bhagavad Gita, Jalma Karma Jame Devyam, Yevam Veti Tatvataha, Chakva Deham Puna Jalvaneti, Mameti Sorjuna. The person who knows, understands that activities of Lord Krishna is transcendental. That after leaving this body, he do not have to come back. He goes back home, back to Godhead. So, the stealing of Lord Krishna's butter, or whatever activity Lord does, it is transcendental. It is not in a mundane platform. And this is transcendental, one gets purified by hearing and chanting the glories of Lord Krishna.
Absolutely, yeah. Just to add on that.
Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Prabhuji. So just to add on that, you see, Krishna is killing in the Kurukshetra battlefield. He's killing, you know, he's telling Arjuna, you shoot, you fire, you know, you kill all these people. And even Krishna's killing, what is he doing? He gave Swarupa Siddhi to all those people who were in the battlefield. They all attained liberation. So he's killing, he's favoring the demigods, or he's killing. It is all the same. It is all absolute. So Granth Raj Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Nithai Gaur Premanande.